Fasten your seatbelts, comrades, or you'd better be holding on to something heavy like a Russian kettlebell, because you're about to enter the No Drone Throwdown Zone. This is Kevin Rail and Ron Jones, the Lean Berets, and we are Avengers of Hell. Hide the donuts. You're listening to the Lean Berets radio show at theleanberets.com. Welcome, comrades. I'm Ron Jones from the Lean Berets. I've got a great show here live from Ventura, California, on the beautiful coast of California. Nice sunshiny day. Before I get started with my very special guest, Ron Carolus, I've got a little coaching story. I was up at the collegiate football program last night, or the night before, I think, and one of the coaches that he's basically retired, but he still coaches with the college guys. He likes to stay into it. He came running up to me like a little kid with a big smile on his face. He said, "Coach, I've lost 30 pounds in the Lean Berets 30-30. I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, I haven't missed a day of exercise all year, and I've got 15 more to go by November, and I'm up to 60 minutes a day, 7 days a week." So I thought that was pretty cool. We've actually been able to help a lot of people around the country. I'm getting some good feedback from people on the 30-30. They haven't missed a day all year. And the cool thing about it, it's free. All you need is some sweat and hard work, which is why I'm here with Ron, Big Ron, today. Great story about Big Ron. Not only has he become a real good friend of mine, he's a corporate client, and he's got a very inspiring story that he's willing to talk to everyone about today. This guy started out, at one point he was 600 pounds, and he's currently weighing in about 350. I think the really cool point here is he's lost 140 pounds in less than a year. And another major point is that people need to consider getting fit at any size they're at, instead of waiting to lose all the weight and then hit the gym. I don't care if you're 500 pounds. You hit the gym now and get it on. So without any ado, I'm going to slide my mic over here, get a little more comfortable, and welcome Big Ron. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's been an interesting journey for you, and I've had the honor of helping you out a little bit, but I really haven't done a whole lot. I mean, with coaching, you try to give people some goal setting cues, and as a fitness guy, a little fitness setup, but basically you busted your own ass significantly.
Yeah, I have.
So you showed me a picture the other day in the office of what year was that? 2000?
That was 2000 at my daughter's graduation from high school.
And you weighed?
I was 610 pounds.
Oh, you're over 600.
610.
Wow. And that was a few years ago, and now you're down to about 350.
Yes.
And you're still hitting it hard. So, you want to tell us a little bit about, how old you are, and maybe some contributing factors, what got you up to 600? And
yeah, I'm 50 years old, and I never was really big growing up. Was real active, played football in high school, and then I got married and went through a pretty rough marriage of 25 years, and that pretty much led to my weight. My wife was on drugs and taking care of kids and working and trying to cope with everything she was going through, and so all I did was eat and felt sorry for myself.
Do you think a lot of people turn to food as a way of coping with whatever BS is going on in their life?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's all I looked forward to. It was the only thing I had to look forward to, really.
Yeah.
Just was eating.
Okay. I remember, this is a point I didn't write down, but you just kind of jogged my memory. The first time we got together, you made a pretty good assault on weight loss, and you lost, I think, 70 pounds.
Yeah, I lost about 70 pounds, and as in the past, I just quit.
You put it all back on.
Put it all back on.
Yeah, and then you came to me again, and I think it was like about like a year and a half later.
Yeah, about a year and a half after that, I finally had, we were going to go on vacation, and it was pretty embarrassing. I tried to get on an airplane, and they came to me and said I couldn't fit in the seat, and they wanted to charge me double fare.
Oh, yeah?
And so we got off the plane, didn't go on vacation. And
oh, really?
Yeah. I told myself, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to lose weight.
That was your trigger point.
That was the trigger that got me on the right path.
I remember you coming in and talking to me about wanting to get on the plane and go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And being able to get in the seat. And that, I mean, there was fire in your eyes, man.
Yeah, it was. Because I promised, my wife's never been there, and I promised her before we leave this earth, I would get her to Hawaii. So
cool.
That's.
And that was over 140 pounds ago.
Yeah. That was last year.
The first time Ron lost weight, he came back into me, and he kind of told me what happened. I go, well, you know, why'd you bail out? He goes, well, you know, stress, this and that. I go, well, is the shit still there? And he said, yeah. And I go, well, you might as well go to the gym, because, you know, and I'm going to use myself as an example. All these stressors are still there in my life, whether I work out or not. And it enables me to cope with it a little bit better. I think if you hit a workout, even a 30-minute walk at a moderate pace or a slow pace. I mean, I've had some slow walks where I actually felt better when I got back. And I think we both agreed on that. And he never really looked back. But you know, you weighed 600. Now you've lost 140, but that doesn't add up to 610 or whatever it was. So you had a couple surgeries in the mix too, right?
Yeah, I had a couple failed bypasses. I mean, I lost weight, but I put it back on.
And what happened?
I just thought I could do the surgery.
Yeah.
And that's all I had to do, that I didn't. It would just come off because I couldn't eat.
Right.
But if I'd have known what I know now,
yeah,
it would have worked. But
so you kept eating?
I kept eating after like 6 months. I lost 200 pounds the first time.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, man, this is easy. Why didn't I do this before? And then next thing I know,
right,
I've put it all back on.
Yeah. I'm starting to hear more and more about this as a corporate well coach, where people have the surgery and then they end up putting it back on and it fails. So, you know, Ron and I talked about this a little bit before the show. It's not just the physical capacity of your stomach, it's behavioral. You know, it's the mental part, right?
Exactly. You got to change your habits.
Right. And that's what you've worked on so hard the last year or so. And it's sticking.
Yeah.
And now you're doing it without the surgery.
Exactly. Now it's even more gratifying.
Yeah.
That I'm doing this on my own.
I had a lady, one of my former clients, she kind of had the same situation. She got to the point where she had to do one of two things, lose weight the old way or lose weight the surgery. And she felt like she didn't want to give up control of the doctor. She wanted to do it, you know, the natural way. And she attacked that way, and she got a lot of the weight off. I've got another friend that had the surgery when they first came out, and he gained all the weight back. And last time I saw him, he had lost a little bit of it. So, you know, I'm hoping he's working on that again. But more and more, I mean, driving around Southern California in the LA area, I'm seeing all these lap band billboards now, and it's becoming quite the rage in Southern California, you know. And it's, I don't really think it's the answer. You know, I think Ron could tell you that. You've got to change your mindset, too, and not just the capacity of your stomach. One thing I mentioned at the beginning of the show is getting fit at the current size that you're at. And back in the day, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, we thought it wasn't really safe to have larger people in a gym working out hard. I think The Biggest Loser has probably shown that necessarily isn't the case. I know I've worked out with you, Ron, and hell, I was sore for 2 days, you know? So if you think this guy isn't fit, you need to come down to Ventura and hang out with him a couple hours in the gym, because despite being Big Ron, he can throw down. And I take this guy in the battle, man, and with people half his size, he'd work him to death, you know? So as a big guy, I mean, how do you stack up against the rest of people in the gym?
A lot of people come up to me and say, my God, how do you work out like that, being as big as you are? And I just say, I have to do it. So I got used to doing it, so now I just do it. You know, that's
yeah.
It's I have to. I people say, well, you know, once you get your weight off, are you going to do this? And I said, I'm doing this until I die. I have to because
yeah,
if it's just a way of life now. But I've,
Ron's probably he's in the same category as some people I know, like Kevin Rail or Jack Elaine, or where he's absolutely adamant about getting his workout in. And don't mess with this guy's workout, man, because he is absolutely passionate about getting in and getting it done. And my perception of that, Ron, is that this is a life or death thing for you. I mean, you absolutely, you've got to do it.
Exactly. You know, my grandkids, I see the look on their faces now that I'm,
yeah,
I can do things with them.
Yeah.
Before, you know, I take them to the store, buy them stuff, but I couldn't take them to the park. I couldn't run around with them. I couldn't play baseball. I couldn't do anything with them.
Right.
So now I feel like, you know, they love it so much more.
Oh, yeah.
That I can, hey, I'm going to take you to Magic Mountain and we're going to walk all day. I can ride the rides with you.
Yeah.
Before I couldn't get on the rides.
Wow.
So it's a big difference.
I noticed a couple years ago, I mentioned that at work this morning. I don't know if you were in there at that meeting, but I went to Disneyland a couple years ago, and there are all these people rolling around in these electric scooters, you know. And we used to go to Disneyland once a year when I was a kid with my parents, and I don't remember seeing so many people not walking. But to be able to walk all day at Disneyland is a fair amount of work. Back in the day, people didn't bat an eye at it, but now people just aren't very fit. But that's a big deal. Because what I noticed a couple years ago, Ron, is that the people that couldn't walk with their kids because they're in a scooter or they're in such poor condition, they probably got 25% of the fun stuff done in the same amount of time that we were getting done. And you could tell like it was holding the kids back. So I think that's a big point for you to make, that, you know, with your kids and grandkids, you can get out there and you can keep up with them.
Yeah.
And lead the charge now.
It's amazing, yeah, to be able to do stuff with them.
That brings me to a point. We got a bunch of stuff written down here we'll try to cover today in no particular order. But you had a really great story about golfing. And I've heard some rumors that you're a pretty good golfer, right?
Yeah. I'm for a big guy, I'm about a 9 handicap now.
Yeah. Can you tell us the golf story of, you know, the pre getting in shape and now what it's like?
Yeah, before, you know, I rode in golf cart all the time, and I was playing. It was hot out, and the people I were playing with were kind of rude and talking crap, and I was getting frustrated, and next thing I know, I kind of passed out because of the heat. And,
wow.
And they didn't even help me.
And you were in the cart, too.
I was in the cart.
You weren't even walking the course.
I wasn't even walking the course.
Wow.
And so now I've... That same course, it's really hilly. It's up in Santa Barbara, and I walk that course.
The whole 18 holes?
The whole 18 holes and carry my bag without a problem.
And what was the time period between like that incident where you almost passed out and being able to
about
do it?
6 months.
That's amazing.
6 months.
Wow. You went from not even being able to ride the cart to walk up to the tee.
Yeah.
To walk the whole course.
Yeah, I would have to pull up as close as I could and then go to my ball as close as I can get, and sometimes you weren't supposed to take the cart in those places, and I still did it because I just couldn't.
You couldn't do it on your
couldn't
own?
Couldn't do it on my own.
And wow.
I played with some guys that are like 200 pounds, and they get a cart. They won't walk with me.
They can't keep up with you?
They won't walk. They're like, it's too hilly. I won't play good because I'm going to get tired.
They're whining.
And they won't go to the gym with me, so...
Well, yeah, if they won't keep up with you in the golf course, they might think twice about the gym. God, you know, as a corporate wellness coach, I get a lot of whining at times, but what I like about Ron is he just gets to work. Once you made up your mind to do that, there was no whining, there was no excuses. I mean, you know, you've probably heard a lot of excuses, and so have I, but you just seem to find it in you somewhere to get it done every day. 7 days a week, too, right?
7 days
a week. For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. I think in this last year I've missed 3 days, and that's because I was just so sick I couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah, and that happens.
But other than that, I don't miss for no reason.
Yeah. Let's talk about, obviously, your doctor's got to be pretty pleased. What's it like now compared to a year or so ago before you really got with the program in terms of medications, blood pressure, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm still on my blood pressure medicine, but we've knocked that down to about a quarter of what I was taking. Less than a year.
Wow.
And I have sleep apnea, and probably in about a month, he's going to take me off the machine that I have to sleep with at night.
Wow, that's great.
So that's real exciting, not having to haul my machine around when we go to a hotel or go out of town.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you know, I got to cart that everywhere because I'm supposed to sleep with it. But
wow. So you're getting your life back and liberating yourself, you know. That's great. What about your heart rate, resting pulse, things like that?
That's a lot better than it was. It's I'm not having any problems. I always had a good heart. That was one thing the doctor always said. For your size, you know, your heart's good.
So you had some good genetics going.
So, yeah, that's good, and I think it's helped that I've never drank or smoked ever. I think that saved me. If I would have been a smoker or a drinker all this time, I probably would have already been dead.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. Now, you said we talked a little bit about size here. You mentioned before the show that as a child, you weren't obese.
No, I was a big kid, but I was in high school. I was 260 pounds.
Yeah,
played football
like a football lineman guy.
Yeah,
some people are just larger. That's the way it is.
But you know, I'm 260. I was like 34 inch waist. I mean, I was just not until when I was 20 when I got married is when the weight hit me.
And we talked about, you know, you mentioned the stress and that you turned to eating and all that, but we talked earlier today, getting ready for the show, about the type of childhood we both had, because we're about the same age, and we both had a similar background where, like, our parents kicked our ass out of the house and basically told us to get busy for the day and come back later, you know.
8 o'clock in the morning, get out, and I'll see you at dinner time. So I've always been active, you know, playing sports, doing something.
Yeah.
So these last, 25 years or so, it's been pretty rough not being able to do nothing.
Yeah.
I was lucky to be able to keep a job, really.
Right.
I mean, I almost lost my job a couple of times because before I knew I had sleep apnea, I would pass out at my desk.
Oh,
I
really?
I mean, I would be talking to customers and just pass out.
Really?
And they came to me and said, "You're not sleeping at night? Are you out partying?" And
oh, really?
Because I didn't know what was wrong, and I didn't know what to tell them. I'm like, I sleep at night. I don't know why I'm passing out.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah. And they almost fired me.
Yeah, and they probably thought you were partying all night.
Yeah, and I didn't know. It was frustrating because I didn't know. You know, I would pass out. I almost had a couple of wrecks in the car. I'd be driving down the road and fall asleep.
Oh, wow.
And
now, sleep apnea, for those of you who don't know, it's been tied into weight, and it's a real big problem in America right now. There are a lot of people that I know at the corporate wellness level that have the machines, and they're having the issues. But the cool thing about it is the point that Ron made. He's only about a month away from getting off that machine and sleeping on his own. And we just need people to realize that they have so much more control over what's happening to them. And that's what's exciting about working with you, Ron, is that you've taken control of your own life. So many people that I see the last 10 years and have worked with, they kind of just, they have this dysfunctional responsibility thing where they just put their doctors in charge or somebody else, and they don't realize or accept that they have a lot of control over their own health destiny.
That's true. And a lot of doctors, they don't know how to get you fit, really.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I never had anybody tell me the stuff that you've told me, you know, about eating. And, you know, they're just like, "Oh, we'll give you medicine and we'll keep you alive." That's all they want to do.
Right, right. Well, there's this interesting research just out the last few weeks about, you know, we used to think, well, if they're overweight, obese, they'll just die sooner and it'll save money in the long run, so why worry about it? Well, now they're realizing through some research studies that You know, these people don't necessarily die sooner because of the medical technology. They just get this drug and that drug, and they get plugged into this and that, and they end up being highly expensive and living many times, you know, a full life. So we just need to realize that there's a lot of control we can have as individuals. And for me, you know, with wellness, it's not necessarily about longevity. For me, it's about quality of life. What's more important to me is that while you're here, whatever, if we have a week left or a month or a decade, that you're out with your grandkids at the park, that you're playing the golf course, you know, walking the course. And you bought a bike too.
Yeah, I started riding a bike.
You got a bike and you're out riding. And Ventura, if you don't know, it's like one of the coolest. It's actually been called one of the best places to live in America if you like outdoor activity. Beautiful weather, beach, mountains. You got it all right here.
Yeah.
It's a great place to ride a bike. Nice, clean, fresh air. Well, the next story I want to get to is something you told me earlier today. When you went, you'd switch gyms. And, of course, when you know, switch gyms, you do some baseline testing a lot of times. It'll kind of see where you're at. You want to tell that story about that guy that came up to you?
Yeah, I was just switched over to a new gym, and they were doing some testing and seeing where I was at. And this gentleman came over to me while I was being tested, and he's just like, I'd like to shake your hand. I didn't know what he was doing. And he said, hey, I just want to tell you I'm proud of you. You need to keep this up because – in little over a year, I think it was like 2 years, he had went from like 480 pounds.
Wow.
And right now he's probably, he looks like a bodybuilder. I mean, this guy is fit.
That's cool.
He's probably, I want to say he's probably like 230, 6'3", and he's a rock.
So he's been through what you're going through right now.
Yeah, he was just like me. He said, you know, when I first come in here, about 2 minutes on the elliptical and
he was blown?
I was blown out, and he said I would drag myself out of here, and I dragged myself back the next day.
Wow.
And he said it. Now it's a routine for him, and he rides his bike 100 miles every week.
Wow.
So
he's going to get it done, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's going on.
I need to give that guy a Lean Braze t-shirt, man.
Yeah.
He's living the lifestyle. By the way, the Lean Braze is not, you know, it's not a BMI, it's not a body weight, it's not a body size to be a Lean Bray, it's an attitude. And Big Ron at 350 is every bit of a Lean Bray as much as I am or Kevin Rail or Jack Elaine or anybody because he's 100% in for health and fitness. And he throws down no BS.
That's for sure. That's all you got to do. If you want to do it, you can do it. You just got to work.
And, yeah.
You know, one thing about fitness, you just got to start it, and it takes 22 days to form a habit. So
right.
That was my problem. I would always go a week or two, bust ass, and then I didn't want to do it no more.
Right, right.
But this time I said, I'm giving it 30 days. When I first started this a year ago, I said, you know, I'm going to do what Ron tells me to do. I'm going to do it for 30 days.
Die trying, right?
Or die trying. And once I got past, you know, 25 days, 30 days, I was like, this is a piece of cake. I can do this.
Yeah, there's something, it sounds very simplistic. I'll just go 30 days, 30 minutes a day, and it is, but there's something deeper psychologically about that program we put together. Yes, it takes about 21, 22 days to form a new habit or a initial behavior. But I think the magic to the 30-30 is that we never really specified heart rate range or intensity or what you need to do. It was just that you do something. And I think for a lot of people, that's a sigh of relief. It's like, you mean I don't have to throw down weights? I don't have to run? I don't have to do yoga because I've never done yoga? No, you don't have to do anything except do something. And really, it's not that first 30 days, everyone. It's not about the fitness. It's about the mind and getting the mind to shift. Because once your mind is engaged, your body will follow. And that's what Ron and I are talking about. That's what Coach Stanley was talking about at football practice a couple days ago. You know, that first 30 days, if you can lock in mentally, then a lot of things will happen physically. And the people that try to hit the gym, you know, wide open, full bore the first week or two, they end up getting hurt or blowing out, and they're, you know, they just can't even come back. And then that's not what we want.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do, because being so big, you know, I didn't want to hurt myself. So for the first couple of months, I just got on the elliptical and I would go as much as I could go, and then I'd go home, and then I'd come back the next day and keep. Next thing I know, I'm working out now 2.5 hours every day, lifting weights, cardio,
yeah,
riding my bike.
I looked at his Ron's workout program the other day. We were doing some coaching on that, and I mean, he's serious when he says 2 to 3 hours, you know, a day, 7 days a week. That's what he means. And he's lifting weights. He's doing an interval program. And Ron is the biggest guy that I've ever worked with. And I know when he started, if you're a trainer out there or another wellness coach, it's really critical you find something that doesn't hurt them, because he was so motivated. And I think your spirit was so strong to do this. And I was concerned that we needed to find something that would keep you healthy enough to stay in there, because I felt like if we had a serious injury problem that first couple months, it would have been devastating to me, but especially to you.
Yeah, I worried about that every time I felt some aches. I thought, man,
right.
I can't stop this. I get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now I don't worry about it now. Now I just get after it, because I know I'm in a lot better shape than a year ago. So, but I still, you know, pretty careful, but
yeah, I think if you move well, you can do a lot of things well. So, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's totally related to size. I work a lot of movement patterns with people, whether it's Ron or anyone else. And, if you squat right, if you've got good spinal function, you can do a pretty good job, even in a larger size. The lady I mentioned before that I used to coach, the first few months with her, man, we had foot issues and knee issues, and I had to really ease through that. And there was a point when we started where she could basically only walk around the block, and then we gradually increased the pace, and we went into a shuffle jog, and then a consistent run. And every time we would kind of get into it, this little thing would happen or that, but we kept nudging through that carefully, and then she was able to do a triathlon at a year after she lost 60 plus pounds and did a triathlon, and that was pretty cool in just a year's time. I think it'd be interesting to talk for a minute about what you eat today and when.
Yeah, right now I'm trying to stay right around 1,000 calories a day. I go to work in the I have to be at work at 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So usually when I get to work, I have a protein shake in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and usually about 7:30, 8 o'clock, I'll have some instant oatmeal,
mm-hmm.
and then usually at lunchtime I'll have either a salad or a 6-inch Subway turkey or chicken sandwich, depending on how I feel that day, and then. In the afternoon, I'll eat a couple of bananas or something before I go work out,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some almonds or something, a little bit of almonds or something
mm-hmm.
like that. And then usually after I get home from the gym, have dinner, I usually eat some fish or chicken is about all I eat. I pretty much cut out I don't eat too much red meat anymore.
Okay. What about the junk food? Chips, sodas, stuff like that?
In a year, I haven't had anything to drink except water.
Really?
Besides the protein drink in the morning. I cut out everything. No sodas, no tea. And I used to drink tea at my desk, probably six 32-ounce glasses of iced tea every day at work.
Really?
And I figured that, I know tea's not that bad for you, but the caffeine
right
makes you hungry. So I was sitting at my desk eating all day
while
I was drinking the tea.
And what did you eat when you're having the weight issues?
Mm-hmm.
Compare what you're eating now to what were you eating then that was just stacking the weight on you?
Well, every morning we'd get a big old breakfast burrito from.
I've heard
the street.
I've heard about
2 pounds.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go get one just to see what they're all about, because everybody at work in Ventura, they keep talking about these breakfast burritos.
Yeah, well, they named one after me, Big Ron Special down here.
Oh, my God.
It has bacon, sausage, hot dogs, Canadian bacon. It has all the meat, and then it has potatoes,
eggs,
cheese, and salsa. And it is so big.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
I'm going to go get one so I can put a picture of that on the Lean Beret website with you now getting fit and, you know, kicking butt. That's a funny story. So the breakfast is obviously a little high calorie. And what about the rest of the day?
Then we'd go to lunch, you know, have ribs or...
Heavy lunch.
I mean, something you shouldn't be eating at
lunch. Right,
more like a dinner. And and then I'd probably have some chips or something in between lunch and before I went home for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I'd come home for dinner, eat a couple plates of food, whatever it was, pasta, whatever.
It didn't matter.
I'd eat like two plates of food.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd set my ass down on the couch and watch TV until I fell asleep.
Yeah.
And then I'd wake up 3 in the morning, do it all over again.
Wow. Now, did you drink any sodas before?
No, I haven't had really cut out soda since my surgery because they didn't want you to have the fizz.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But before, when I was 600 pounds before my first surgery, I was drinking an 18-pack of Pepsi every day at work.
18 I had, Pepsis?
I had to take an 18-pack
every day. No way.
Swear. That is the absolute truth.
Oh, my God. So that's a lot of liquid calories, man.
Yes.
And one thing people don't realize is how many calories they drink. And there's been a little bit written about this the last couple of years with Americans and weight gain. So, you know, it's basically, if you're drinking a soda, it's like, you know, liquid sugar for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
And you could be stacking thousands of calories a day. A lot of people go to Starbucks and they have these sugary special mixture coffee drinks. They, you know, some of those are 400 to 600 calories. If you go to the smoothie bar, some of those smoothies are running 800 calories, you know, so you have to be careful when you start buying that stuff. You want to make your own smoothie, you can do a little bit better job with it. But yeah, man, the drinking of the calories is a major point with weight gain and weight loss. If I can get somebody to at least reduce the amount of sodas, we can see some weight loss right away. Wow, that's fascinating. Now, you don't have diabetes, do you?
No, never. I was lucky. Never got it.
That's amazing. So basically, I remember when you came to me, you pretty much were good to go, even though you were big.
Yeah, I've been pretty healthy. I mean, my only issues have been the blood pressure and the sleep apnea.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been real lucky.
Which you've got that almost licked
now.
Yeah,
and I got both them licked.
Yeah. Now, I think, and I talked to you about this a little bit the other day, I think your calorie intake might be a little low. And we've talked about this before, like, and you see that in The Biggest Loser as well. Sometimes if you're not eating enough, your metabolism can slow down a little bit. So one of the things I did with Ron yesterday is, now that his workouts are so long and so hard, maybe adjusting his calories up a little bit more. Because as I explained to you in that email today, Ron, you don't want to go into your workout and get kind of flat before the workout's over. You want to make sure you have enough gas in your tank to get through it. And then I think that's hard for people like Ron because they're so damn motivated to lose the weight and they're maybe fearful of like getting past that edge again, right?
And that's true, yeah.
And I think that's a natural reaction. We see that with people all the time. Do you have any workout tips for everyone as a big guy? There are a lot of people in this country that need to lose over 100 pounds. And what kind of advice would you give the person like you that walked in and basically you said when you went in the gym, you know, you didn't know what to do, what to get on. And, you know, we worked on that and you got more knowledgeable about that. But initially you were just kind of lost. And
yeah.
What can you say to those people to help them get started?
I would say, you know, just go there and go to work. Don't worry about what other people's thinking because, you know, people have this perception, oh, look how big they are. They're not going to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you go in there and just work, I mean, when I started a minute on the elliptical and I thought I was having a heart attack, I mean, it was all I could do.
One minute, yeah.
So, you know, we picked the elliptical because it was smooth. It wasn't going to hurt me. And
right.
I just worked on it. Like the first 3 months, that's all I did was the elliptical every day.
Yeah, one of my issues with Ron, we were worried about his knees, and we picked the elliptical. It's pretty joint friendly. And he worked the crap out of that thing for a while. And one of the things that worked well for him is I use an interval training program called the Sprint 8. I didn't design this. Someone else did. But it's worked really well for me and my corporate clients. And if you don't know, it's an afterburn type of workout. Basically, that is a workout that stimulates your metabolism and it allows you to burn more calories after the workout is over. And that's the real key with exercise, is not the calories you burn during the workout, but what are you going to burn when you're sleeping, right, and sitting at your desk. So what Ron started with after he got a little base of fitness going is the Sprint 8, and basically it's a two-minute warm-up with a 30-second sprint or very hard effort on the elliptical trainer, followed by a 90-second rest, which is actually at a moderate pace or difficulty. And what we do with my clients is we take all the resistance off the elliptical trainer, we put that thing in neutral, we use speed to get the heart rate up. And what you want to do is transition quickly from the sprint into the rest and the sprint into the rest. And you started with that, and then we tweaked the workout a little bit. You got away from it. We put it back in yesterday. And one of my suggestions for Ron, because he's always wanting, like, he's not afraid to work really hard. It's not an issue when I talk to him. And I said, well, you know, if the sprint eight's not hard enough, you can add, you know, you can add a couple more cycles. And because the whole workout's only 20 minutes. It's a butt kicker, but, you know, it's not very long. So he went last night, what did you do, a sprint 15?
Sprint 15.
But yeah. Of all my clients, I have hundreds of corporate clients, and some of them have added another couple cycles on the 8. The one doing the most, until Ron said this today, was doing a sprint 12, and he immediately went from 8 to 15 and just kicked butt. So I think that's an important point to make. I mean, you got to work, right?
Yeah, you got to do it, and you will feel so much better. Believe me, like he says, the stress is still there.
Yeah.
I still have the same shit I got to deal with.
We all do, yeah.
But when I go to the gym, I forget about that. And then I go in there, bust ass.
Yeah.
I come out, I forgot all about it. I feel great. I come home, and I can go to bed without worrying about everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You look a lot better, too. I mean, you've... Ron has a good energy to him and a glow, and you've really inspired a lot of people at work, probably more than you even know. But I have a lot of people come up and talk to me about you, and I've talked to a lot of people about you around the country, and there are people waiting to hear the show, not just here at work, but around. And I think that's going to inspire a lot of people. So one thing you mentioned is that you made a lot of friends at the gym. Once they saw how hard you were working.
Yeah, that's true. They started coming up to me, and, man, I can't believe how you're working out.
Yeah.
You know, can you give me some tips? And these are people that are in shape.
Now you're the guy, man.
And they're, you know, asking me for advice, you know, well, why do you do that certain thing? Or, you know, how does that work good? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's kind of funny that people are asking me, but it's really cool. And one of the best things that happened to me is somebody at work came up to me and he says, you know, he says, the biggest thing I can notice is when I look in your eyes, you don't look like somebody that's ready to commit suicide. He said, I was so worried about you. I would see this look in your eyes sitting at your desk that this guy is not going to be here long.
Really? Wow.
And now he says, when I look at you, you have life in you. I see it in your eyes that you're happy.
Yeah, you're fired up.
So that was big.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Happiness is a real big issue. I don't think we're talking enough about that. But at the wellness level, with some of my coaching and training friends around the country, that has been coming up more and more at our conferences and seminars. And, you know, we have all this money, we have all this stuff, but in America, we're less happy than dozens of other nations. And I think fundamentally we've gotten out of touch with the fundamentals. And part of that is just fitness. You know, feeling good about your body and moving a little bit. By the way, movement produces certain types of endorphins. And when you go take a walk, you do a workout, especially a vigorous workout, say even kick out a little bit more, but it's a chemical reaction. So I think that's why if I'm stressed out and pissed off, I go for a walk at the minimum. I do like a slow walk because I'm going to get my 30 minutes a day. I'm up to 900 days plus in a row now, man. and I haven't missed a day yet. And I will feel better afterwards. So if you take a whole country of people that don't really get any kind of physical activity, they don't get that chemical response that really as human beings we need, and therefore I think that's the root cause of a lot of our depression. We're just literally not moving enough to get the chemical release of the endorphins and the human growth hormone at those higher intensity workouts. That's the anti-aging hormone, and people are now going to Hollywood and trying to get shots and all this shit. I mean, if we did a kick butt workout, you know,
you wouldn't need any of that.
I mean, you get a pretty good amp after doing some interval training, you know.
You sure do.
And I think it's important to get out and move around. Any other tips for? I looked at your workout. I mean, for those of you that don't know, Ron, he does a mixture of different activities. I mean, free weights, machines, steady state cardio, intervals on the cardio equipment, some work in the stability ball, the bike ride at the beach, you play golf, you walk the neighborhood. I mean, any other tips about anything you want to give?
Yeah, I bought me a quad, and now I go desert riding.
Oh, okay.
On the weekend, ride like 100 miles, and believe me, that's a workout.
Yeah, it's a vibration training, right?
You're holding on to your arms are getting an unbelievable workout. Your whole body is.
Yeah.
I mean, when I finish 100 miles on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I've been at the gym for 6 hours.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's a quality of life issue that a couple years ago you probably wouldn't have been able to do.
No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't get my fat ass on one. I would never even thought of that.
And now you can do a 100-mile ride.
Yeah, now no problem. I want to go for more, and it's amazing what you can do when you. And the funny thing about it, my brother, all my life or since I've been big,
yeah,
he harped on me. It's all in your mind.
Yeah,
and now he's right.
Yeah, yeah, he found
he's
that
right. He would always get on me. He said, just quit eating.
Mm-hmm.
Just quit eating and exercise. And
yeah.
I didn't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably the closest person to me. And
I
could kick myself now for not listening to him.
Mm-hmm.
But
I can remember about that time that you had that conversation with him. You came into me and you were just sick of it, you know, and pissed off and ready to take some action in the appropriate way. I mean, you could have went back to eating more or turned to drugs or alcohol,
yeah.
But you just hit the gym hard and never looked back.
That's it.
And a short amount of time made some major changes. Wow. Any eating tips for the people trying to lose over 100 pounds?
Well, you got to eat.
Yeah.
I think I fell into a pattern where I wasn't eating enough.
Okay. Yeah.
And even though you're trying hard to lose weight,
mm-hmm.
if you don't eat, you're not going to have the fuel to keep working out. So
right.
I'm now trying to teach myself, hey, I need to eat instead of doing without.
Right.
A lot of times I was just doing without, and you know, it's you've got to eat. But as long as you eat the right stuff.
Right, because that can blow up in your face if you don't eat enough.
Right.
And, you know, it's been nice to help Ron a little bit with this because there have been a couple times when his program and weight loss went a little flat and we were able to get in there and tweak it a little bit. So I think a point to make is to be flexible. What you set up initially, you can only roll that so long. You're going to have to tweak and adjust and monitor and you know, you might have some weeks. I know with Ron, he sends me a report every Monday, you know, and I look at that and I see how much weight he's losing. He's got a big spreadsheet he's made, and it's pretty cool. I get excited about seeing it every time he sends it to me. But when he goes flat every once in a while, he gets very nervous about it, and you've just got to hang in there, and we've got to look at, okay, what's not working? Maybe you just need a little more time, but after a couple weeks, and if I don't see anything positive with him and the weight loss, then we start looking deeper. What do we need to change? What do we need to adjust? And that's what we did yesterday.
Yeah,
he made some fitness changes that produced more of a metabolic response in the last couple of days. I think you'll see a little more weight loss now.
Yeah, I do too. After yesterday, I think getting back to the Sprint 8.
Yeah,
and
the Sprint 8 is cool. I'll hook that handout up on the Lean Brave website from my personal website. And if you all want to check that out, it's a two-minute warm-up with 16 minutes of intervals and another couple minutes to cool down, a 20-minute workout that does more metabolically than most people will do in an hour, hour and a half on a treadmill or an elliptical trainer. So it's a pretty cool thing. Anything else? Oh, I got one. I didn't tell you I was going to mention this, but what about the Vaughn story, man, and how maybe fitness could have possibly saved your life? You want to tell that story? It's a good story.
Yeah, I was one night, this was about 6 months ago, and went down to the local Vaughn's. It's down on the corner, and it's kind of in a bad area.
Yeah, there's a lot of homeless people kind of milling around, yeah.
And there was a couple guys sitting on this planter, and I got out of my truck and walking up, minding my own business. And next thing I know, he's asking me for money, and yeah. I said, you know what?
Yeah.
Get a freaking job.
Yeah.
You know, get away. Next thing I know, he's pulling a knife.
Yeah, scary.
And was going to take my money, and a year ago, I wouldn't have even thought about knocking this guy's lights out, but instincts took over, and I hit him one time and knocked him cold, knocked his teeth out, and
yeah.
Cops came and hauled him away. And
and he was wanted for arrest, wasn't
he? Yeah, he had some warrants for a rape.
Wow.
That they had been looking for him, and I guess this guy was homeless, so it was hard to find him. But
wow.
So it worked out. I got him off the street, and I didn't get hurt, but
so Big Ron's not only an avenger of health, but he's an avenger of justice for the criminal system. But you know, we're laughing now, but I mean, you know, fitness is power, and it's not if the moment of truth will occur; it's just when. And in that moment of truth, you had the fitness to get it on.
Yeah, yeah. A year ago, I would have never have.
You probably would have bled out right there.
Yeah,
I couldn't
handle myself. I don't think
fast enough. Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, this has been a great show. Probably, Lean Braze just launched in January of 2009, but I think Kevin Rail might even agree with me on this. It's probably the most powerful show we've done for helping to change this country with health and fitness, and really, that's what we're all about. We're barking loudly at times to get people's attention to wake up. The CDC just released their latest obesity updates a couple weeks ago, and all the states in America are not losing any weight. So it's getting worse. It's not getting better. But with people like Ron and other Lean Berets around the country, I think we can make a difference, and I know we already are. The key here with Ron is, you know, don't wait to lose weight to get in shape now. Because this guy, you know, he's amazing. He can do all kinds of stuff. He can outwork people half his size. And he's really an inspiration to a lot of people. And I think you're going to hear a little bit more from him. We might have to do some videos and have him on the show again and get a little following here for Big Ron workout tips. Because, in fact, that brings me up maybe one more point to make is you had a chance to be on The Biggest Loser a few years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I went and tried out and was all set to go. I got picked.
Uh-huh.
And then they threw on me that, you know, you're going to be gone for 4 months. And I didn't have the resources.
Right, without money, income, yeah.
Without income to leave my job to go. So that was devastating because I thought, well, that was my last chance.
Probably kind of depressing to you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was very depressing, and I thought, man, so...
So here's a guy that was down and out, thought he had a chance to be in The Biggest Loser, did, and had to walk away, and yet still found in him somehow to come back and do it on your own. And still doing it.
Still doing it, yeah. And will keep doing it until they put me in a box.
And I'll be right there with you, man. Well, hey, this has been a great show. This is Ron Jones, and you've been listening to the Lean Berets radio show at theleanberets.com. Metal Blues today provided by Stanley J. Tucker and Calcaneus. Check them out at calcaneus.com. Until next time, keep rocking health and fitness, America. And if you don't, I'm going to send Big Ron looking for you. We're out.